Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Man, packed house tonight. You got Tom Foster and his family in here. Tom, I knew we were going to be boys. You wear J's and eat Popeyes. Like, come on. Oh, J's. Those are Jordans. I'm sorry, Jordans. He wears Jordan tennis shoes. Man, he wears Jordan tennis shoes. You got Mike Clark in the house, always front and center. The general, the legend, man. And it was hard to, like, stand down here because I guess my city's in the house tonight. I guess my city's here. Woo! I'm not going to lie, though, man. I was mad at my city for a while. After that turkey bowl, I was mad at y'all. Woo! Dude, I felt like an old man for the first time. I'm still sort of like, hold on. You know you're getting old when your wife's like, hey, babe, you better not get hurt. Little update on the Forbes family. We bought our first home this week. It's good. Yeah, that's good. So everybody was just cheering. We're moving this weekend, so there's sign-up sheets at the door. Please grab a time slot. Everybody grab a time slot. Charles, you and I co-lead a ministry. 2 time slots. Foster, at least 5. Mike, you're all day. So, man, I love America. Anybody who knows me knows I love America. I love America for her rich past. I love America for her bright future. I love democracy, and I love the American flag. I mean, like, I love America so much that I said, God, if you're going to give me a wife, her name's got to be Glory. It's got to be Glory, because I'm going to have some patriotic kids named Freedom and Justice. But I'm still believing for a son, but I'm guessing my window is closing. But if I have a son, his name is going to be LeBron Heinrichs Forbes. We've already decided that. A little basketball player, John and I actually have a wager that if his sons go to the World Series, I'm guaranteed tickets. John, don't be cheap. I need box tickets. You know, one another reason why I love America is America has a full volunteer army. We have a volunteer army where young men and women go, they sign up knowing that they're going to war. America has been at war for 222 years of its 239-year existence. We've been to war. We've only known 17 years of peace. And so that means if you sign up for the military, you know, like, you're going. Like, there's not any option around it. You can sign up for whatever branch nowadays, you're going. Everyone's going. Okay, but I had an epiphany that, you know, Christians, we've been at war for a lot longer than that. We've been at war for 3,500 years or more. We've been at war for almost 4,000 years. We have an adversary that hates us. He hates you. He hates me. He hates everything about us. So tonight, the title of this message is Prepare for War. You know, most of you guys know that I was saved in C3. C3 is my home. When we bought a house in San Diego, it said, San Diego is my home. We're never leaving. Glory loves the beach. I tried to move her to Missouri, and she said, hey, homie, that is not happening. That's not happening. As far as I go, east was La Mesa. So La Mesa, she said, that's the line. The 125 and the 8, that's it, Jeff. That's it. You know, but there was a misconception for me when I got saved. I came to C3 and everybody's super friendly. It was like Pleasantville. Everybody's like, dude, you're a legend. You're a champion. Oh my gosh. And I was like, dude, I'm going to be saved and this is going to be amazing. I'm never going to have any problems. There's going to be no problems. There's never going to be any satanic attacks. There's never going to be any demons. You know, the Kansas City Chiefs are going to win every Sunday. Every Sunday they're going to win. I'm going to have just buckets and buckets and buckets of Popeye's chicken. Spicy, though. It's got to be spicy. Tom eats mild. I need spicy. I thought there was never going to be any problems, you know? You know, and then I got saved, and, you know, Glory drug me to the altar twice, once to get married, second time to get saved. I was kicking and screaming. I'm still got a little bit of a limp from it, just trying to get there. But, you know, Glory told me she loved me after 2 weeks. after 2 weeks. Ladies, don't do that to your men. We're fragile. Like, that's, you can't do that, man. We run. We're not just, all right, but so I got saved, and all of a sudden, like, we were driving the car, and, like, random cars tried to drive us off the road. Just out of nowhere, random cars started to drive us off the road. And one night, I walk into the house after work, and Gloria says, "Babe, who's with you?" And I'm like, "What are you talking about? Who's with me?" She's like, "Jeff, something followed you in the house. You had another shadow behind you." You know, and I was like, "Man, what's going on here?" And it got so bad at one point that I had a demon manifest in Freedom's room. I didn't know what to do, so I called Mike Clark, went and sat on the porch until he got there. If there's a demon, call Mike. He'll show up with some oil. We're going to handle some business. You understand? We're going to handle some business. But it got bad. You know, it got bad. And it took me getting saved to realize that I have been in spiritual warfare my entire life. See, the devil was grooming me from a young age to keep me off this pulpit or to keep me from co-leading a men's ministry that's going to have 10,000 strong one day. See, the devil wants to stop you before you get going. He wants to stop a seed in its infancy because he doesn't want you to get to where you're supposed to be. He doesn't want you to get there. So the fact that you're facing obstacles and oppression today is the fact that you're on your way and you're moving in the will of God. See, just keep going. You know, spiritual warfare, I was like, dude, I used to watch scary movies, and Glory was like, "You can't watch those. That stuff's real." And I was like, "No, it's not." And then I realized, oh, it's real. There's like literally demons in the closet, you know, and then I get, you know, Pastor Jurgen's like, "Oh, come down if you want to get, you know, if you want to get something broke off of you." And I'm like, Glory's looking at me like, you better go. And I get down here, and Pastor Jurgen's like, dude's next to me falling, poof, poof, poof. And I'm like, man, I'm not going down. I am, no. I am not going down. And then I woke up like 20 minutes later after looking like a fish on the floor. You're saying, you better just give in. You know, but there's ways that you can protect yourself from being a casualty of spiritual war. There's ways to protect yourself. And it sounds funny because, you know, I used to be a Marine. I was in the Marine Corps for 8 years. And I was like, oh, cool, you know, warfare, woo, physical warfare. So the first time I saw a demon, I was like, we're going to fight, woo. And then I realized that's not going to happen. Gloria was on the floor laughing. I'm like, why are you laughing? She's like, dude, what are you doing? The first thing you can do to protect yourself against spiritual warfare is you got to get your worship on. That's point number one. Get your worship on. See, the devil hates praise and worship. He hates a home that praises and that is actively engaged in worship. He hates a marriage where husband and wife come together in worship. He hates it. He can't stand worship so much. That's why he had to get up out of heaven, because all heaven is praise and worship. He just couldn't handle it. I got to go. You know, the devil can't be in any home where there's praise and worship. The devil can't be around your kids when there's praise and worship. He can't be up on your job when there's praise and worship. See, that song, "I'm gonna praise him in a storm," that's literal. You gotta keep praising him even when all hell is breaking loose around you. You just gotta keep going. But there's something about worship, okay? There's people that legitimately worship, and there's people that worship on Sunday mornings. There's people that worship on Sunday morning. See, if you want to protect yourself, you need to be worshiping those other 6 days of the week. See, we used to call them Sunday going Christians. See, don't come up in here smelling like the club the night before. I'm not saying I've ever done it, but I might have done it a few times early in the walk. Hey, I've been to Onyx a few times. It's all right. So worship, see, you cannot be living a double life during your worship. You cannot be living a double life. See, you can't be down here with both your hands up during worship and then go home and beat your wife. You can't come down here and praise and worship while you're sleeping with your secretary. You can't come down here and worship and think you're going to have the same effect if the money you're dropping in the tithe bucket's embezzled. Like, that's not how it works. See, the only way worship works is when it's authentic. When it's authentic. See, I get looked at crazy when I worship sometimes. I drive a big truck. Well, sometimes I might be blasting C3 Live's album in my truck. And I might be in my truck, just hold on, God, I'm coming home. And you might see tears coming down my eyes in my truck, because I know that when I'm worshiping, I'm not worshiping for me. I'm worshiping for glory, freedom, and justice. And I mean, in all areas, that's just how it is. I can tell when there's a break in my marriage, when things start to get tense in my marriage. I can tell when Glory starts to pray because there's a shift in the atmosphere. There's a shift in the atmosphere when she starts to worship. See, Glory was worshiping for our house before we had a house. See, there's been moments in our life where we didn't have a whole lot. See, our first few years in the church, or actually our first year in the church, we got sponsored to go to Empower. And me in my prideful ways, I mean, I was devastated. I was, man, I'm not taking this dude's money. Get out of my face. That's bad. Ooh, that's all bad. See, but what I should have been doing, and Mike, I'll tell you guys, Mike's the one who sponsored me. What I should have been doing is he knew I needed to be here to get my worship on, because that's the first time I got exposed to real worship, where people don't care. I don't care if you're looking at me. I'm getting my worship on. See, I'm going to get ugly in my worship. You might see me start to cry in my worship. You might see me just break down. But see, I'm not worshiping for you. I'm not worshiping for you. I'm worshiping for me and mine. I'm worshiping for me and mine. See, I know that when I start to worship, the devil has to flee from me. He can't stay with me when I'm worshiping. He cannot stay with me. I cannot actively be under spiritual attack. The devil has no choice to flee when you worship. In Acts 16, 24 through 27, we all know the story, okay? Paul and Silas, they've just been stomped out and they get thrown in prison. And in prison, well, let me just read it to you real quick. Acts 16, 24 through 27. Having received such a charge, he put them in the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks. But at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing and listening to C3 Live's album, and the prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake so that the foundation of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and everybody's chains were loosed. See, the jail cell right there is a symbol for oppression. The jail cell is a symbol for bondage. And see, that's how you break your bondage. You break any spiritual attack. You break the chains. You break just oppression with worship. You got to keep just worshiping. See, worship is not something that I can do here or there. Like I said already, you cannot worship one day a week. You know, a lot of Christians today, a lot of churches, praise and worship has become a ritual. They come into the church, three songs, whatever. Oh, it's hymnals. It's, oh, we can't do this. Oh, yeah, three songs up. I'm up. They see me. I'm down. Blah, 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 blah. Hey, but I'm sorry. That's not how C3 is. And John told you guys I'm in seminary, so I actually got to talk about that for a second. See, I was in a class in seminary very early on, and they were, you know, some people who have been there for a while, and they're like, this dude's been saved for 2 years. Why is he here? You know, and and they're like, oh, so what church do you go to? And I'm like, oh, I go to C3. And the guy's like, and walks away. And I was like, hold on. Come here. Because I can get righteously angry for Jesus. That can happen. So I said, hey, come here. And he's like, oh, well, we just don't believe in the type of worship you guys have. And I was like, what do you mean the type of worship we have? And he's like, well, we don't really like when people get on the microphone and they scream and holler and people raise their hands. And I was like, oh, wow, okay, cool. And he's like, if I was at your church, anytime somebody raised their hand, we would go stop them because they're interfering with somebody else's worship. And I said, so what would happen if they did it again? He's like, well, we would just ask them to leave. And I'm like, well, that doesn't sound like worship. I don't know what that is, but that's not worship. See, I love worship. I love my city down here on the front. I love Alliance down here, even though you guys are stepping on my shoes. I love y'all. I love y'all. So everyone here, most of you guys heard my 3x10. I'm not from amazing family. I'm not from the greatest side of the railroad tracks. I'm not from San Diego. I don't live in I never was raised in Carlsbad. A little different environment, you know what I'm saying? It's like we drove old cars, you know, it's just what it is. You know, and so when I first got saved, or actually when I first decided like, hey, something's not right, something doesn't add up, I actually went to a psychologist. Okay, because that's a great physician. Go to a psychologist. They're going to tell you everything. You need a psychologist, okay? And so I went to the psychologist, and she's like, after I told her my story, she started to cry. 20 minutes in, she starts to cry, and then she's like, Jeff, you're bipolar. I can't help you. True story. Glory knows. The physician's like, or the psychologist is like, Jeff, I can't help you. You're bipolar. And so I had a really hard time accepting that. And it ended up leading to me actually having a suicide attempt. Okay, I don't talk about that very often, but there was actually two suicide attempts. The first time was a failure, and the second time there was somebody interceding on the other side of town that just, you could tell because there was a shift in the atmosphere, okay? And so after that suicide attempt, I actually got saved and had a dream, and God was like, in the dream, I'm a UPS delivery man, and I'm delivering God's messages. Okay, and so I'm getting packages at my house, and I'm delivering God's messages. And on the boxes, it says from God to, let's say, Charles Fuller. I don't know. But after that, I started to realize that, like, the devil really hates people when they start to have a call in their life. The devil hates you when God calls you. He hates you when God calls you. You know, and if you're under spiritual attack, if you start a business and it's not going so hot, or if you're running for politics and it's not going so hot, don't be discouraged and don't think that everything that you do as a Christian is going to be easy. I mean, Jesus was sent here to save us and he was crucified. Not everything you do for God is going to be easy. You know, and actually, when you realize who God has called you to be, you actually get a target on your back. See, every principality and principle now is aiming at you. You have a big bullseye on your back. You're actually on hell's most wanted. But see, the difference between they don't want you dead or alive. They want you dead and dead, spiritually dead and physically dead. He's like, I don't want him living. See, I don't want him living. See, and I realized that through my suicide attempts that the devil, like I said, was trying to take me out because he didn't want to see glory. He didn't want to see Glory and I get married. He didn't want to see my girls. He didn't want to see my two daughters. He didn't want to see me here because he knew that the very thing he sent to stop me, the very thing he sent to kill me, I'm going to use to glorify God now. See, he doesn't want to see that. And so the fact that you're actively in spiritual war is a sign that you're moving and you're calling and you have a calling. I'm going to talk about a new devil. Point two. It always seems that, like, pastors or people who God ordains or calls, they have the most difficult tests. They have the most difficult trials. John and Becky lost their homes, and the devil tried to kill John at 30 years old when there was no reason or purpose. I got to take him out. I got to take him out before he has a campus and before they start to send out other leaders and they start to get to 16 campuses. I got to stop the Heinrichs. See, but what happened when John and Pastor Becky lost their homes and John was almost killed, they began to worship. They began to just praise God for healing, even though it wasn't there, it wasn't easy. See, Satan is no dummy. He's not dumb. His tactics he just knows. Satan doesn't attack you unless he doesn't want to attack a private. He wants to attack a general. He wants to attack a general. He wants to attack the person that's going to be the biggest threat, the person that's going to bring the most light to the kingdom of God. That's the person he wants. He wants that person. So let's just think about this for a second. So God gave Adam a commission. He said, you're going to rule the whole earth. And what happened? As soon as that happened, bam, Genesis 3, the devil shows up. The devil shows up. He's like, just go ahead, Eve, eat the apple. It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's okay. You know, Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And everywhere Paul went to speak, everywhere he went, there was somebody there. There was an oppression every time he spoke. He was beaten and broken. I mean, he was flogged. He was thrown in prison. He was shipwrecked. So many things happened, but he never quit. He never gave up. He just kept moving forward. See, I've spoken to enough people around here that people have some testimonies where they've just kept moving forward. Because eventually you're going to get there. Eventually you're going to get to that finish line. Eventually the thing you've been praying for and believing for is going to happen. See, but the devil wants to end it before it all happens. But see, there's going to come a day when Christians can stand up and look at the devil and say, hey, you tried to kill me, but you can't. Hey, you tried to stop me, but you couldn't. Hey, you tried to stop my business, but you couldn't. See, I'm going to keep putting money in the tithe bucket, even when the check hasn't cleared yet. See, I'm going to keep going no matter what happens. To me, I'm just going to keep going. Acts 19:15. There's two Jewish exorcists, and they're talking to a demon. The demon says, and the evil spirit answered and said, "Jesus, I know, and Paul, I know, but who are you?" Just because you've got a call from God doesn't mean that the devil doesn't know about you. You're not hiding. You're not hiding in the creative team. You're not hiding in the sanctuary. You're not hiding on security. You're not hiding. The devil knows you. The devil knows. First Peter teaches about Satan roaming the earth and seeking to kill, steal, and destroy. Sorry, guys. Kill, steal, and destroy. And I didn't really realize what that meant until I went to the Men's Emerge Conference. You know, my first Emerge, there was like 250 of us. This year, there's going to be 1,600. You know, you see. Last year, we had 1,000 guys. You see 1,000 guys in a tent, and all of them are on their knees. And they're praying and they're pressing in for their families. And you're just preaching a brilliant message about husbands, you gotta love your wives. And Pastor Leanne shows up and she's talking about families. And it was funny, the devil attacks men and women the same way. He attacks us all the same way. The devil, first off, he hates marriage. And so he makes it so easy for you to have sex before marriage. And after marriage and kids, it's like sex is off the table. I'm always tired, she's always tired. The baby's there. I'm like, yeah, but she's always gonna be here. What about me? What about me? Glory, what about me? I got needs. Just kidding. Hey, I'm sorry. I'm in trouble. I am in trouble. Oh. Woo! Anybody got a couch? Oh, man, I got needs. you know, I co-lead Emerge with Charles. Most of you guys know that. I co-lead Emerge with Charles. And I have a tilt towards getting offended. I have a tilt towards getting offended. I've had to pray about it, and I've had to work through it. I mean, I was that dude that would get offended. Pastor Jurgen doesn't know my name. Oh, my gosh. You know, I was that dude that was like, oh, they're never going to let a brother preach. I'm not kidding. They're never going to let me on the pulpit. Oh, my gosh. I don't look like everybody. I don't act like everybody. I don't wear skinny jeans because I'm a man. I am so sorry, John. Oh, man. No, but I have a tilt towards getting offended. I've had to work through it. You know, and I'm going to tell you guys a story that I probably shouldn't tell you. Oh. When I first got saved and had that dream, I was like, I went to Pastor John, and I was like, hey, John, God's called me to preach. And he's like, who are you? And I'm like, I'm the new dude that goes to your church. And he's like, bro, there's a process. He was super cool about it. He was probably like, hey, this dude's a weirdo, but you know. But I'm like, I got like super offended that like they weren't gonna let me preach after being saved for a month. Like, John, don't you see my calling? you don't see my calling? Like, you don't see the emotional schizophrenia I have going on? I love Jesus. No, I don't. I can't make it. Oh, I love Jesus. I love C3. I'm never leaving. Oh, I'm leaving this church tomorrow. Hey, some of y'all have had those conversations with me. No, but I have to work on a tilt toward offense. So the devil knows that offense is something, as an area where he can attack me at. He knows that I get offended at the smallest things. My wife says that I am just, what do you say exactly? Yeah, I'm too sensitive. I'm like, I like The Notebook and long walks on the beach and things like that. I'm too sensitive. No, but I have a tilt towards getting offended. And so offense, like Pastor Jurgen talked about this morning, will take you out of the church. It'll take you out of here. And so that's why my third point, and I am moving rather quickly. my third point is call on a brother. When I start having crazy thoughts or when the devil attacks me, I go to my brothers. Okay, and I've got a few friends that I can call at 3 o'clock in the morning, and the only thing I got to say is, hootie hoo, and they know it's going down. They know they got to show up. They know, like, hey, Forbes is about to do something crazy. He's, hey, exactly. Hey, his man's about to do something crazy. I need to talk to him. See, I've had some 1 o'clock in the morning conversations with Mike Clark. See, I've had some 5 o'clock in the morning conversations with Josh Vyer on our way to work, and I'm like, oh, they hate us because they ain't us. And he's like, Jeff, what are you even talking about, dude? Like, what's going on? It's 5 a.m. What are you doing? And so anytime you're in a struggle, you got to call on some people to help you, okay? Because we've got some spiritual warfare veterans up in here. You know, I got a Kwacha Davis, and I just need to rub elbows with her. I got a Kwacha Davis. I just got to rub some elbows with her. I got a Lynette Clark. She's not here tonight. She's sick, but that woman will give you a spoonful of truth. Oh, woo, woo. And then she'll give you some pie. I was like, I thought you hated me. She's like, I just don't like how you act in your marriage. I was like, ooh, this pie is good. This pie is good. No, but you got to call some people. And the people you call, you got to be careful who you share your mess with. You got to be careful. See, I'm never going to share my mess with somebody that's in a bigger mess than me. See, if I'm struggling with something that you've been struggling with for 10 years, please, homie, don't talk to me. Don't offer your services. Don't offer to counsel me. I don't need a mentor right now. I need a brother. I need a Christian man that's going to say, hey, dude, I was an idiot before too, but guess what? We're going to walk this thing out together. See, I can call my boys that no matter what happens, they'll say, hey, dude, Jeff, I got you. See, I can call Andre Johnson, see, and just be like, hey, dude, I need an algorithm for something. And he's like, oh, you're what's really going on, Jeff? And I'm like, oh, well, I'm just, you know, I'm feeling discouraged. I want to quit the Emerge team. God's calling me to Pathfinders. Maybe that's John calling me to Pathfinders. I'm like, hey, I don't know. I don't know. You got to call on your brother. You got to call on him. You got to call for help. The devil wants nothing more than to get you up out of this house, get you up out of here. I've seen a lot of people come and go. I mean, I've been at C3 now for 5 years. I've seen a lot of people come and go, and it's the same story. Don't they see my calling? Don't they see who I am? And we do. We see you. We're like, hey, dude, you're going to be a great leader one day. You're going to be an amazing leader. We do see you, but there's a process. People hate to hear the word process. See, Josh Vyer got a word from me one morning. He said, Jeff, I don't think you want to deal with the process. He said, you want everything, but you don't want to go through the process. I got some dudes that'll speak some truth to me in love. Some truth to me in love. Just lost my train of thought. Yeah, the keys are up. Yeah, good. Good. First message. Thank you, guys. I love all y'all, man. Appreciate this. This has been awesome. Here's the thing, church. In spiritual warfare, there's always going to be casualties. There's always going to be people that don't want to hear the gospel. You know, recently my grandfather died, okay? I never met the man. I never met him, okay? And as he was laying there on his deathbed, my mom told me that they tried to bring a chaplain in the room. They tried to bring a chaplain in there, you know, very last second. His body was just completely riddled with cancer. Completely riddled with cancer. And they tried to bring the hospice chaplain in there, and his now wife was like, oh, I don't want any of that religious nonsense in here. I don't want any of that in here. The spiritual warfare that had plagued my family for so long had just been a generational curse that had been passed down from one person to another person to another person. And they say that what walks in a father runs in children. See, church, we got to be ready to go to war. I love our Cherish ministry. I do. I love it. You can tell when Cherish has gone on. Number one, because my credit card's on fire. Because apparently Jesus will not show up unless Glory has a new outfit for every session. And the other thing is, there's always. You know, in those images and those videos, you see women there, and they're not letting their husbands just do all the heavy lifting. They're not letting their husbands, you know, do it alone.
And man, that pisses the devil off. You see, we got a church full of Cherish women, and we got a church full of Emerge men. You got My City, you got Alliance, and we're all here. We're all here. The devil wants to take your brothers and sisters out. Call them. Call them. If you see somebody and they're not in church for 2 or 3 weeks, call them. Call them. Call them even when they say you're being annoying, because you don't know. You might be the last person there. You might be the last one stopping them from ending it. They might have the devil in their ear talking about, hey, dude, just end it. Just kill yourself. No one cares. No one cares. Just go, hey, pull the trigger. Nobody cares. You got a war for your brothers and sisters. You got a war for your fellow mothers. I know mothers, you guys have a terrible time after childbirth. Postpartum depression, man. I'll never know, but I hear it's terrible. You got to reach out to those new moms. But men, you got to reach out to those new dads as well, because it's one of the most scary experiences ever. I barely got my mess together, and you're giving me this beautiful baby girl. That's an amazing feeling, but it can be scary. But tonight, I feel that there's people in here, and the devil's been trying to take you out. He's been trying to stop you. It didn't start here. If you look back right now, it's been going on for a while. It's been going on since you were a child. And if you look back, you'll start to see that you could actually feel the devil's breath on your neck. You can feel the devil's breath on your neck. That ends tonight. You know, when I was in Iraq in 2000, I don't know, early 2000s or whatever. Okay, and I was at the embassy and a bomb went off. Okay, and I had just landed in Iraq. Okay, and so I hit the deck and I'm landing on the floor and I look up and everybody else is just sitting there cleaning weapons. And I realized that they had been in a combat zone and they understood what warfare was. They understood what warfare was. The way to break spiritual warfare, the way to break ties in your life is to get around other people. It's to get around other people. If you're a young lady right now and you're struggling with something, please reach out to somebody. Reach out to one of these other ladies. If you're a new mom, reach out to somebody that's had 2 or 3. I'm prophesying. Glory's having another one after this one. Little LeBron. Could you guys do me a favor and everybody just stand to your feet? If you could do me a favor, and sometimes this gets awkward, but could you grab the person in the hand on the right of you and the person in the hand on the left of you? We are the body of Christ, and the person you're standing next to is your brother or sister. Okay, we're one unit, we're one family, we're linked together. When my brother struggles, I struggle. Right now, for the next minute and a half, or actually, let's just go a minute. I want you to pray for the person to the right and left of you. And the worship team's going to start to play a song. And we're just going to pray for the person to the right and left of us.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.